Welcome to Journey to Alignment, the podcast, where you come to learn about the journey it takes to fully lean into your purpose. I'm your host, Sam Harper, and founder of Sharper Advising. Together, we will learn about the beaten path and the methods it takes to be a trailblazer. Everyone's journey is different, and I want you to know that you're right on time and everything is falling into place. Your path doesn't have to look the same as anyone else's. When I'm rising, so are you. Let's get into it. Sarah, I'm so happy that you are on the podcast. For one, let me just say that this podcast wouldn't have happened without your encouragement. So I feel like you're a founding honorary member of the Journey to Alignment podcast.
I mean, I accept that with open palms. Thank you very much for having me. It's such an honor to be a part of this at this juncture, but also to kind of like witness how you have come through and finally made it to this moment. It's so exciting. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you for always celebrating me. That's part of this. That's all part of this, is like having good people who... I'm gonna give you listeners like an insight to Sarah and I. We always say catching each other's guitars, like Prince. So Prince would have these guitars in a performance, and then when he was done with it, he'd just throw it up in the air. And then one of his roadies, that's probably not even the right term, but like one of his like crew members would catch the guitar every single time. And so whenever Sarah and I are going through tough things, or like we have each other's backs, we either send each other a guitar emoji or is like, I'm catching your guitars, girl. So thank you for always catching my guitar. I will always hear to be catching yours too.
It's such an interesting way to think about it. But yeah, like having people in your life where you just know, like you don't even, the whole visual of that is so inspiring and impactful, because you know, you don't even really have to like look back. Like you just know that they're going to be there and that you can trust. It's almost like a rock and roll trust fall.
Ooh, I like that. A rock and roll trust fall. I'm so here.
See how we come up with ideas in the moment. It's so good.
It's so good. Get two creative minds together. You never know what's going to happen.
It's true.
Sarah, tell us a little about where your journey started. And I know that there's a lot of places where this can start, but what feels most natural for you, and give us some insight onto where that journey started, maybe some pivotal moments, and then we'll get into some of the other juicy stuff a little bit later.
Yeah, totally. So I like that you called out like pivotal moments, because I feel like my career is pretty well, I mean, not like relatively long at this point. Like I've had some experience under my belt, but there are definitely key and pivotal moments that have set the trajectory of like what comes next for me. And looking back, you know, 2020 is, you know, hindsight. And so I can see how those made a huge impact. And I think that those are the ones that I definitely want to call out. So the first one really was that when I first graduated high school, we're going to go all the way back to high school. When I first graduated high school, I decided to go to school for theater, because when you're 17 and you don't really know about the breadth of career opportunities that really exist out there, I feel like the resources for opportunities or understanding opportunities was not as good as maybe it is now. And so theater was really the only thing that I could imagine myself doing. It was like, that's the only thing I'm good at. So I decided to pursue that. And once I got to school, I realized very quickly that I did love theater, but also there was a stark difference between loving that and wanting to pursue a career in that. I just didn't see myself wanting to move to New York or big city and trying to pursue that. And that sort of moment set the trajectory for me in changing my thought pattern around career and opportunities. And so I changed my major to journalism and mass communications. And then I got my minor in theater. And I pursued a concentration in public relations. And after I got out of school, it was 2008. And so it was the height of a huge economic recession. And my intention, and let's say I thought I was super smart, I was like, well, I'll just do theater marketing. And that will be, you know, how I can merge these two worlds. And in 2008, no one was hiring, especially not nonprofits, and especially not arts nonprofits. No way. So I really didn't anticipate that kind of curveball. So the opportunities just were not there. And so what I had done was got connected to a local Shakespeare company here in Arizona. And I had done an internship with them a couple of years before. And so I connected with them and really kind of just became their marketing director for a couple of years. And I worked for tickets and t-shirts. And that was honestly just a really pivotal moment in my career because I recognized the need for relevant and valuable experience. And I also recognized the need of staying close to what it is that I was passionate about and what it is that I was excited about, even though I was still working like a full-time job in retail and insurance, which was really a weird time for me. I did not belong in that industry. So even though I was working this full-time job, it had nothing to do with what it is that I wanted to do. I knew that I had to keep my eyes on the prize, if you will, and kept giving myself the gift of relevant experience. And it was through that that I was able to get an actual paid marketing job at a huge regional theater here in Phoenix. And I worked in their marketing department for several years and then moved over to a publicity agency and got some really great relevant publicity experience with them. And then moved on to a global humanitarian nonprofit organization. And I guess really in that moment, there was the next pivotal moment that I think is relevant to career.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm happy to share a little bit more about that too.
Yeah, I just want to pause here and just take a moment to really reiterate something that you said that I just think is so, like, it's such a golden nugget of that gift of relevant experience. Because I think sometimes when we are in those moments, it doesn't feel like it's going to be lucrative, or it feels like we're off of the path that we want to be on, or that like the bigger vision goal. And it is such a gift. It doesn't feel like a gift in the moment. So if you are finding yourself in that moment of like, this doesn't necessarily feel like where I'm going, we'll get to this later. It's like the wisdom that you're building from that gift of relevant experience will then pay off later on in your journey, because you'll have something that otherwise, had you not taken like a, we'll say like a side path on the journey, you wouldn't have had. So, and I think we'll get to that part of your journey too, because all of these things that you just mentioned now play such a huge role in what you do now. So, but I do want to hear about, because I mean, Sarah and I, we go back. So we've worked together, we're catching guitars for a really long time. And there was this moment that really shifted everything for you. And it was at that global nonprofit organization that you worked at. And I want you to share with the listeners here, like, what was that pivotal moment for you?
Yeah. So, I had been working very, very, very used to working a full-time job and freelancing or side hustling on the side. Like I said, all the way back to having that experience while working a full-time job. And that had just really become like the normal for me. I had always had a couple of clients on the side. I was always kind of doing this or that while I was working a full-time job. So it felt like I was always working. And I really started to feel this urge in the pit of my stomach that was like, I think you're ready to like do this on your own, right? You're ready to like jump out. I had always had a vision for agency life and really wanted to change the conversation around agency because it had such a bad rap. And I just had a lot of vision around that and what it would look like not to just freelance like full time, but also to have an actual business. And so I started setting a couple of things in motion while I was working full time as a senior copywriter for that organization. And kind of had like a 2-year plan, I guess, like seemed like a good choice at the time. And really like, I know, so strategic and like had it all planned out. It was like at month 3, I'll do this. And at month 9, I'll do this. And I like knew. And then, this is like the best story, I promise. I get myself all dressed up for what will undeniably be my favorite holiday for the rest of my life. Also known as Halloween. And, walked in to work that day, fully dressed as Cruella De Vil, with my hair half black, half white, fake eyelashes, ruby red lipstick, a great coat that I thrifted, and a prop puppy. And I was fully ready to win the Halloween costume contest that year because I take it very seriously. I think I missed my calling as a cosplay artist somewhere along the line, but it comes into play. And I walked in to work that morning and got let go. And this is like the part that always feels like a little cliche, but I really feel like I walked out of there with like my sad box of like dust belongings. And it was like the bad intro to like a romantic comedy. And all I needed was to be like in New York and have a taxi car, like drive by me and splash this water all over my face. And so I went home with my like fake eyelashes, like falling off from crying, and my makeup smeared and my hair like a mess. And I feel like that moment was just had this glaring clarity for me. Yes, I was heartbroken. I was upset. I didn't have a lot of the closure or like the understanding as to like the why that I felt like I deserved. But even in that moment, I had this glowing light of clarity that no, I am not going to go log into my LinkedIn profile right now and redo it. And I'm not going to panic email anybody. And I'm not going to open up my InDesign file with my resume and like revamp it and like start that kind of like panic that comes where you're like, I have to do something right now. I went home and I like, one, I like felt my feelings real hard yes. for like a couple of days. And I jumped in and I decided, no, I'm doing this thing. I'm launching this business. I am diving in head first. And I gave myself permission to set aside anything that anybody would think about me doing it. And I gave myself permission to really lean into what it is that I wanted in that moment. And what I wanted was to be an entrepreneur. What I wanted was to own an agency. And so I built my brand and my website in a week. Do not recommend that you do that. That was like, I think I had like 10 cups of coffee a day and didn't sleep for like that whole week, but I was really, really in it and really determined to like launch this. And I brought all my existing freelance clients in and reformatted their agreements to make more sense in the context of an agency. And I've been going ever since then, and it will be 3 years this coming Halloween.
I love that you didn't go into like full panic mode, because that's our default as humans, is to like, it's the oh shit button. Like, okay, I gotta hit the oh shit button, like get it done, you know? And you allowed yourself for one to lean in fully to the emotions. Like, yes. Thank you. Amen. Preach that at the mountaintops. Like, everybody fully lean in and feel your feelings so they don't attack you later. But then the other really important piece is that you gave yourself full permission to thrive. And I love that. Like, what, for all of you listeners, what would happen if you gave yourself permission to thrive? Are you kidding me? I remember when you were going through that phase, and I remember the conversation so distinctly because I was also like very soon to be on a trajectory of change and shift myself. And I remember you saying, I'm never going to write a resume ever again. And neither will you, Sam. And it was in that moment that I was like, this is the real deal. She's doing it. Because you're not asking for other people's validation. You don't need to show your whole life on one piece of paper. Like, that's not how you're going to show people what you do. You're going to show people what you do by what you build. And I just have loved seeing you build as you go.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was a very visceral feeling and moment. And it was this sense of, I'm really tired of trying to show up and position myself in a decent light and convince somebody on the other side of a desk that I'm really good at what it is that I do. When I'm like, I don't owe anybody that because I'm really good at what I do and I'm tired of trying to prove it to everybody. And the dynamic shift happened when I thought about my career in terms of power. And what I mean by that is there is this power dynamic when you're interviewing for a job. And I think that there is a little bit of like cultural shift around this when we talk about like you're interviewing the company as much as they're interviewing you. But at the same time, the power sits in their hands. They are the ones who are like, oh, tell me about this gap in employment history and tell me about this. And I'm going to scrutinize every little thing. And I'm like, I'm tired of giving up my power. I'm tired of allowing someone else on the other side of that desk to look at me and make detailed scrutinizations about whether or not I'm qualified to do this job, because I know I'm qualified and I'm going to start seeking out people who want to work with me instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
And when I shifted that power dynamic in my own mind, everything changed.
Right. And that's the shift between self-worth too. Of like, you're not going to tell me if I'm worthy of this job or not. I am more than worthy. If I'm qualified or not, I'm worthy the way that I show up. But I'm going to stand in that and I'm going to do the thing that I know deep inside of me is my gift. And there is so much power in that. It's like claiming your gift. There's power in claiming your gift. And not having somebody else tell you if that's your gift or not. You know what your gift is. And so,
right.
That.
Right. And I think it's like about this, like this sense of this law of attraction too, that I know that you very obviously and clearly believe in, but this idea that I'm not going to sit in this kind of scarcity space where I'm like clawing and hoping that you'll hire me and please give me this job. And it puts myself in this space that just energetically felt a lot different than me saying, hey, this is who I am. And this is what I offer. There's a difference between giving somebody a resume versus giving someone a proposal. When I give someone a proposal, I'm like, this is who we are. This is what we do. And this is how much it costs.
Right.
And if you want to work with us, awesome. And if you don't, then that's fine too. But like, you'll find somebody that's a better fit for you. But this is who we are. And I didn't have to change anything about what we offer, what I say that we do, or what we charge. They can either take it or leave it. And it puts the power back into myself. And that's really what I needed in that moment, was to reclaim that power.
Yeah, unapologetically showing up as your whole self, your whole agency, what you do, and holding fast to boundaries. You know, like that's the kicker right there, is if we're not a good fit, we're not a good fit, and that's fine. But I'm not going to sit over here, cry, and get emotional about it. Maybe sometimes, but like not all the time, right? Like, we either fit or we don't fit. And with that comes a lot of, I think, maturity that you have to kind of grow into as far as like career. Like, there's these times in your career journey that you're given the opportunity to set boundaries, and then you'll be tested on those boundaries no matter what. Like, and this is in career and out of career. If you set a new boundary, it will guarantee be tested. But in the context of careers, like, here's my prices. I love that. Like just going in with the power, not being shy about saying what that is worth monetarily. And if it doesn't connect, it doesn't connect. And then you move on to the next one. But not being in a scarcity mindset is the key there too. Because once you get in the scarcity mindset, then you start compromising your boundaries and your values of like, oh, I need this client because I need X amount of money for whatever project. And it's really not about that. Because if you stay true to your boundaries and what you're doing, then the right people are going to show up.
Right. I think another thing that I want to mention in that kind of pricing yourself conversation is a sense of discernment. Mm-hmm. Because there was definitely a time when I was pricing services a certain way, because it was in, how do I put this? It was parallel and felt connected to the amount of expertise and experience that I brought to the table at that time. And so I think that as we, like, if there any of your listeners are like thinking about entrepreneurship or going into that space, we have to invite a level of discernment and understand that there is a balance between, yes, like my value and my worth as a human is infinite, but what is actually like a decent and fair and great way forward for marketing my services when I have X number of client experiences, when I have X number of years, and then be willing to recognize that as evolution. Because I like tell our clients all the time when they're just starting out that they often feel very nervous about pricing themselves a certain way. And I often tell them, price yourself this way. And it's a little bit of a stretch for sure, but price yourself this way because it makes sense for where your experience is. And every time you help two new clients, then you increase your prices. Mm. And it feels like more of a gradual shift than like this explosion into something that doesn't feel right. So I think, yes, like there is this sense of worth and value, but also like we need to practice discernment, and that goes on both sides. Like if I have, you know, 15 years of experience and I've helped all of these clients, then I better be charging for that.
Right. Yeah. Time. Time is worth money. Experience is worth it too. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. You mentioned a few times about like this internal change for you, and you said like you knew in your gut that this was the right move for you. But for those of us listening who don't know how to distinguish the gut feeling versus like what maybe outside opinions or voices might be saying to you, can you help us understand what that really means?
Maybe, because I feel like this is a lifelong journey. And even if you have had some success in it, it doesn't mean that those voices don't still creep in, or that you might have to deal with overcoming those like internal things every now and again. But at least for me, I think it comes down to like trusting yourself above anybody else. And that's something that I've really learned over the last couple of years. Is I feel like I've been in a lot of career circumstances where I was really asked not to trust myself, while I was encouraged, you know, directly or indirectly, that I was wrong, or that I was looking at the circumstance wrong, or that my voice was not welcome in certain spaces, or my leadership was not welcome, or that I was too loud, or that I took up too much space. And so some of what you have to do is recognize that there's an unlearning as well as a learning. And I think that my most profound way forward was in the unlearning. Mm-hmm. Unlearning the things that people told me or the narratives that people put on me, and recognizing that those were not true, and that it was actually the opposite. And the things that I was told were wrong about me were actually the things that were right about me. Wow. And the reason that I can be successful in this space is because I do have a loud voice, not just like a loud voice, but like that I show up in a space with confidence and I ask hard questions and I can see the trajectory of a project and recognize where the pitfalls are and like want to correct it, even though that might require more work on my part and the team's part. But I don't, and I never have really sat quiet in the back of a room, just kind of going with the flow. And the process of unlearning that that's actually a really great leadership quality was instrumental in my success today and what I know will be my success forward. And unlearning is a process, but I would say that that's probably one of the biggest things that we need to do, especially as women. We're just taught so much from growing up of like who we are and who we're supposed to be. And I have to learn not only to create new narratives, but to counter the ones that have been placed on me that are untrue.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That right there. Preach, sister, like power in unlearning. I mean, that's inner child work in a nutshell right there. Power in unlearning and power in teaching ourselves, or actually, no, not teaching ourselves, remembering who we are. So there's the power in the unlearning and remembering who we actually are. Who do we
come
into this?
I think also is like a caveat to that is remembering who we are, but also recognizing that who we are is not wrong. I think we often are told that if we show up in the world a certain way and it doesn't fit in to this little box, or it's not how people are used to experiencing women or certain kind of people, then somehow there's something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And I think the work comes when you not only remember who you are, but you recognize that who you are is not wrong, and that there is a lot of duality in the idea that who I am is not wrong, but also I'm not who I want to be and I can grow. Like there is this distinct duality and yes, and like these things can coexist in the same space of I am who exactly who I'm supposed to be. And I can show up fully as that human and as that person. And I'm going to lean into the things that innately make me who I am as good and true, but also I have work to do and there's things that I want to improve on.
Yeah, I love that so much. Yes. And that requires deep compassion and empathy for yourself and courage to step into the person who you are becoming.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of that inner trust. Ooh, wee. Okay. Well, here we go.
So good.
So, so good. So can you give people who are on the quote unquote journey, maybe just starting off on their journey or in the midst of like the hard parts of the journey, what's some advice that you would give them?
I think the first piece of advice would be to do some like assessment about how you feel about yourself and then ask yourself who profits from that.
Ooh,
who is benefiting or profiting from how you feel about yourself? And I think that once we recognize who has benefited from us feeling a certain way about ourselves, it totally changes our mindset around what we accept as true and what we don't accept as true. So I would say that would be a huge point of clarification. And then honestly, for me, the other thing more like tactically is not everybody does, but I work in a creative agency and creative environment and industry. And so there is a pressure to feel as if everything I do, every creative output, every idea has a price tag to it, that like everything has to be monetized. And I think for me, that creates a lot of lack of separation between work and play, between joy and difficulty. And so for me, like I've actively try to put my hands into creative projects that I don't have available for outside consumption, things that are not available for purchase, things that I want to do because it's good for me to get my hands dirty. It's good for me to detach the skill set that I have from something that can be purchased 100% of the time. Like there has to be something that's reserved for me. And so like exploring creativity in a non-monetized way is really important to me. And that might not translate to everyone in the exact same way, but at some point, like, I think that there is fill in the blank there, you know, what is the thing that you can do that fills you up that's not for anyone else, that is not available to anybody else for their consumption, for their purchase.
Yeah, that can be translated too, and like just the benefit of being productive. So am I doing something? Are you having fun? Are you playing without there being an achievement attached or productivity attached or monetary value attached or accolades attached? Like, can you just do something to do it and like allow yourself the flow and the fun and the ease and then let it go?
Yeah. I'm definitely not an expert in that. And I would say that's the thing that I'm paying attention to right now and like really trying to work towards is the sense of just being, because I fall into a lot of tropes about being a Leo and an Enneagram 8 and a firstborn. Like I follow all of the like stereotypes for all of those things. And so I have long attached my value and my worth to the achievement, to the doing, to the checking off of the task, to the chasing that kind of high of the reward of getting it, you know, of achievement. Yeah, like you said, and really working hard this last year, particularly to detach value from those things and to recognize that like, one, like there is value and productivity and rest and play and joy, and that those things matter just as much in building a life as getting that next client or, you know, doing a good job or, you know, anything that we can equate to what it is that we're doing along with productivity.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads like right perfectly into the next question is, what are maybe the methods, the practices, the things that you do to stay aligned? Because you, like you said, you're going on year three of having your own agency. I know that you are scaling your business right now. I know that things are hot and like on fuego, like you're killing it. So how are you staying aligned in the midst of this part of your journey?
Yeah, that's a daily intention and a daily struggle, I would say. This is, like you said, it's a really crazy time. I feel like my business has been scaling like for the last 3 years. So I've just been on this like constant trajectory of like adjusting to the next phase of where I'm at. But some really practical things that I try to do is I read a lot. So I'm a big reader. I like to read. And I often will have a business book or like a nonfiction, something like that. And what I try to do to balance that out is also read a fiction book. And the reason I love this as like alignment and balance is because there's nothing to be done with a fiction book other than sit in the story and to absorb the story and to embrace it and feel it and know it and enjoy it. It can teach us things for sure, but there is no call to action. There is no, and now go do this. So when I read a fiction book, I don't have my highlighter. When I read a nonfiction book, I read it from a different place, from a different mindset. I have a highlighter and a pen and I have sticky notes and there's a call to action at the end of it and it's implementation. But when it's fiction, it's just joy and it's story and it's connection. And so that's one major practice that I think is really practical that people can take with them if you like to read.
Yeah. And that's so beautiful. Like there's a difference between dissociating and allowing yourself to like revel in the fantasy of another story or life and get out of yours for a moment, because then when you do come back, you have new perspective. And I think that's just like a really beautiful way of having that balance of staying aligned and having fresh eyes. I love that.
Yeah. And at the same time, like I spend my entire life, it feels like, in front of a screen of some kind. You know, we're a digital marketing agency, like we do design and everything we do is behind a computer. I mean, most people who work in a modern space who are not doing like a physical labor job are integrating their work in some way behind a screen. And I have a Kindle and I don't use it because I think that there is something special and practical in the way that my brain functions by removing my eyes from a screen and looking at an actual page and smelling a book. Like there's, if you're a reader, you know, like there's nothing like the smell of an actual physical book. And yeah, so I think besides just the story and the consumption of taking yourself out of your own reality for a few minutes, it is like this practical, I try really hard not to look at a screen right before I go to bed. And that's kind of like a good practice for me to have something else to like calm my brain, but also calm my eyes.
Yeah. I hear a lot of mindfulness and a lot of being in the present moment in the things that you're saying, and we can all learn from that and we can all take that. That's a beautiful, tangible thing to start practicing is just being in the moment, whether that's in the book, like you're in that moment there, or just, you know, taking a whiff of the book as you open it and like changing your senses. I love that scent, by the way. There's a perfume that is like the book scent. It's so good.
Stop it.
I digress. Sarah, tell us listeners where we can find you. Tell us all the places.
All the places. Well, our website is Ellie and Nora Creative. That's Ellie and Nora, Nora, creative.com. Our social handle is the same. It's Ellie and Nora Creative. And then my personal Instagram is Sarah, no H, Chambers Creative. And I love to connect with people over there. So if you want to continue a conversation or connect with me there, I'm totally open to that.
Yes. And by the way, Sarah did all of my branding. She did my website. She is the mastermind, the creative behind all of the things that I have. So if you like how my things look, she's your girl. Thank you so much for being on here, my friend. I will always be here to catch your guitars and be on this journey alongside you. And it is such an honor and pleasure to have you here with my community. I know that they're going to love you. And there's so much gold in this episode. You guys, tag us, like put it on the Instagram story, tag us, let us know what your takeaways were, because this was pure gold. Thank you. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Journey to Alignment. Don't forget to share your favorite takeaways on Instagram and leave a 5-star review. Until next time, friends, I rise, you rise.